Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, No Body, No Ministry. Did you know that God uses disease as a judgment upon a person or a nation? God warned the Israelites that it was up to them whether they were blessed or cursed. He never wanted them second-guessing what he was going to do, and Miriam quickly learned this truth when she verbally attacked Moses and was punished with leprosy. King David learned about consequences when God killed his son stemming from the adulterous affair with Bathsheba. Gehazi let greed get the best of him, and it not only cost him his health, but his bloodline was forever cursed with leprosy as well. Food is an important part of health, but what happens when you eat harmful things? According to God, eating banned foods will bring sickness, and that is certainly part of the reason why so many people are sick today. Emotions are another aspect of humanity, and evil spirits have become masters at using our emotions to manipulate us into making poor decisions. This message is entitled, Sickness as a Judgment. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm very happy to have you here today with us in the chapel and also on the internet. And I'm going to pray. And we've been going here for 45 minutes, so I'm going to ask the congregation here to stand to give you a little bit break as we pray. So would you stand if you can, and we're going to pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, praise you right now for this day that you have given us. I want to thank you, Father God, right now for giving me strength, power, and anointing that, Lord, I'll be able to deliver this message that would help people, Father God, get closer to you and to have victory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Now you know in the church while they have you stand up from time to time, it is to, you know, help you out to sit a little bit longer. So praise the Lord for that. Well, we got a variety here. Today I'm going to be dealing with disease, food, demons. And we're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you have a Bible, you want to look at that, fine. Otherwise, you that are watching, you have that, you get it up on the screen. And I want to talk to you about disease as a judgment. Last week we talked about that we can get sick because the devil afflicts us in order to break us. So I cannot do everything in one sermon, so I have to do it in segments. So if somebody only listens to today, you will think, man, that's pretty tough. You should have heard what I said last week. So go back in the files in the archives. Now, God warned the people of Israel and said this, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you will not obey you, I will judge you. So you got to remember now that God is a God of love. Yes, he is. But he's also a God of judgment. He has two sides. And the judgment is to bring us into compliance. I learned this. Pain is a major motivator for people to get saved. You know that? And pain is a major motivator for backsliders to come back to Christ. And for years I've said this, as long as the pleasure level is about the same as the pain level, you will not repent. But when the pain level goes way up here, that's when people come screaming to the altar and say, oh God! And he's saying, okay, you're ready to talk? Let's talk about repentance. Now, in Deuteronomy, I'm not going to read this a lot of verses. I got to watch my clock here. I'm going to pick out a few verses here and there. We read for the first two verses. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations on the earth. That's nice. I like that. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken. And the word hearken means listen to the voice of the Lord your God. God is not saying this. I want you to bring money to me. I want you to dig ditches for me. I want you to do this and that. He simply said this. Please obey my commandments. That's what I'm asking you. And the first commandment is get saved. So we get saved. Obey my commandments. And the blessings shall not only come on you, they will overtake you. I mean, that's pretty nice. Then we move up in the same chapter. And, you know, you can read this yourself. It's a good read. In verse 11, and the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain upon your land in the season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. I take that. And the Lord shall make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only. You shall not be beneath. If that you hearken, that you listen unto the command of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Simple. God said, I love you. I want to bless you. Blessings overtake you. Please obey me. Should be pretty easy, right? We should simply be a piece of cake. But you know what? We are a rebellious kind of people. I mean, you rebelled the day you were born. You have a sinful nature. And you never have to teach a baby to have a tantrum. You never have to say, okay, baby, here's how you do it. Get your hands up, hit the walls, scream loud, be nasty. No, you don't have to tell them that. It's natural. It's not supernatural. It's earthly natural. And then God said this, and you should not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store. Now, if you want to be depressed, read the rest of the chapter. Now, you can also be very happy when you read it, knowing that this is not applying to me. I am blessed. Let me pick you up here now, a couple of verses here that I want to read. I want to pick it up here from verse number 58. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord your God. Then the Lord will make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of a long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you are afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. Also every sickness, every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed. And you shall be left few in numbers, where you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass, as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good. Let me slow down now. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. You shall be plucked from off the land when you go to possess it. This was written to Israel, but it's also written to us, because we are the new Israel. We are in the second covenant. And by the way, let me just shoot this into you. Jesus had a Jewish body, right? His mother Mary was of the tribe of Judah. So he had a Jewish body. The apostles were all Jewish or from different tribes of Israel. There were no Gentile apostles, right? The apostle Paul, he was a Benjamite, but he said he was a Jew among the Jews. And the Pharisee, the 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, book of Acts, they got saved at the first sermon that Peter preached. Who were they? They were all Jewish. The church of Jesus Christ is Jewish, not Gentiles. We have been grafted in. So when people says, well, you know, replacement theology, there's no replacement theology. Those Jews that refused to come in were rejected. And those Jewish people today that will not accept the Messiah, they are rejected. But this is the second covenant. It is a Jewish church, not the Gentiles. And we have been grafted in. So this applies to us. So the question now comes, what are we going to do? You have a chance to obey, or you have a chance to disobey. If you want to watch a television program, and you ask yourself, what is the audience that is watching this? Let me tell you this. Television programming is done scientifically. I mean, they have people working, detailing it. They do a program and they say, okay, this is geared to an audience between 5 and 10 years old. So what do they sell? Cereal. Right? Junky stuff. Fluffy stuff. Toys. Now you have an audience of teenagers. What do you sell them? You can see what they sell them, and they're targeting the audience. You watch the news at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever it is, and the producers know this. They're not going to have any teenagers there. They're not going to have children there. They're not going to have people under 40 years old. They don't go there. You could have the oldest, 40 years and up. That's your audience. Now, what have you advertised? Pills, pills, and pills. Right? I mean, they get sick, you know, they go this, you know, you pop that pill, you get heartburn, you know, you take that thing there, you know, you do all these kind of things. This nation is sick. I mean, you know, if you are any statue, at least you ought to have, you know, arthritis or maybe heart attack or, you know, or diabetes. I mean, you know, people in nursing home, they talk about, you know, well, you got, well, I got this, man, I really got the bad one, you know. And they talk and brag about, you know, how bad diseases they got. So the question that should come, you know, if somebody's really insane, why are we sick? Because we don't obey God. Now I've got to move quickly here. I want you to turn with me to Numbers 12. So I want to show you here what God has done in the past. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So what he did yesterday, he will do today, and he's going to do tomorrow. So Numbers chapter 12, verse number 9. Now, this is a family fight. This is a family fight. Now, we have Miriam, the sister of Moses. We have Aaron, his older brother, and Moses. And the three siblings decide, the two siblings decide, you know, that Moses married a black woman. And, you know, you just don't marry a black woman if you're white. Who said that? Aaron said that. Miriam said that. Did God say that? No. God said, don't marry outside your faith. He never talked about race. So Aaron and Miriam not really upset. You know, man, we got this black woman in here, you know, and well, as Moses, you know, and that, blah, blah, blah. They, you know how family fights go. Lovely. All right. So here's the deal now. Verse number 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, Miriam and Aaron, and he departed. And the cloud departed from out the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous, instantly. And Aaron said to Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech you, lay not the sin upon us, where we have done foolishly, where we have sinned. Suddenly, the pain level, ooh, way up here. Aaron, I got to repent now. Let it not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech you. Moses was loving. He simply said, okay, they come against me, but I forgive them. And the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit on her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out for the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. She was a prophetess. And after the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. So God used leprosy. He simply said, okay, I don't like this. She has sinned. I would strike her with leprosy. It affected Aaron. It affected Moses. And because they prayed, there was repentance, she was healed. But for 7 days, she had to pay a price. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 13. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. Howbeit, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto you should surely die. And Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. I want you to see that now. God struck that child, just like this. Why? Because that child had been produced out of rape and adultery. And God could not allow that child to be the next king of Israel. And God simply in judgment struck the child. If you read the rest of it here, you'll find that David fasted for a couple of days. He would not eat. He was pleading with God. And God said, no. This is the consequence. The child has to die. So, I don't want to scare you, but I simply want to show you this, that there are consequences. Yes, we can be forgiven, but there are consequences. You take a person that is a murderer, and he kills somebody. He goes to prison. He might sit on death row. He asks God for forgiveness. God will forgive him, will save him. But the person he killed is still dead. There's a consequence. A murderer had to live with it all his life. I took somebody's life. I took away a husband, a wife. I took away a child. There are consequences. Then I want you to turn to 2 Kings, chapter 5, 20. Here's a story. We have Nahum. He's a commanding chief of the Syrian army. Get leprosy. He has a little servant, lady servant he has that they had taken. And she said, there is a prophet in Israel, it's a god in Israel. He goes down, meets Elijah. He's told to go to Jordan, dip 7 times. He gets healed, come back up. And then he comes up to Elijah and says, okay, now I'd like to unload some good stuff here for you. I got some money. I got some clothing. I want to give you that. And Elijah said, no, I won't receive anything. Go home. Go in peace. You're healed. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, the Syrian, without receiving at his hands that which he brought. But the Lord lives, I would run after him and take somewhat of him. Notice now he cursed himself. As the Lord lives, it was not in God's will. So Gehazi followed the Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now, there come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray you, a talent of silver and 2 chains of the garments. Lying. Bold lying. He's just making a story up. And Naaman said, be content. Take 2 talents. He was excited. He got healed. He was willing to unload his riches. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants and they buried them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in a house. He let the men go and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, where you been? Gehazi. And he said, your servant went not with him. I haven't gone any place. Lying again. I mean, this guy is setting himself up. And he said to him, went not my heart with you? Did I not know? Did I not see where you went? But the man turned again from his chair to meet you. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments, olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maidservants? Now listen to this. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto you and unto your seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper, as white as snow. God used sickness as a judgment. But I want you to see something now. I think it is important that we are honest in our teaching, understanding God. He simply said this, that leprosy shall cleave to you, Gehazi, and unto your offspring forever. Is it possible that we are cursed? That's why we're not sick. Is it possible? We're going to flip it. This is a bonus scripture here. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 20. And I'm just going to read verse number 5. You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Yes, God said this. I will visit your sins upon generation 1, 2, 3, 4. That is about 200 years. A lot of preachers today say, well, we are saved now, you know. When you get saved, it applies to you and so on. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells us this. We are saved. We are saved from our sins. We are forgiven. And we have eternal life. But we need to address the curses. The curses will not go away just because you got saved. The curse of death is gone away. You're not under the law of death anymore. So we need to understand that. What about now if we eat unhealthy food? Well, let's turn to Leviticus. And this is one of these chapters that people really don't like to read. But, you know, have you noticed this? If you go to restaurants and you go to the bathroom, that it will say, you know, it is to the employee, it says, you know, you have to wash your hands. It doesn't say that to the customers. But the people working in the restaurant, it says you have to wash your hands after you've been to the bathroom. And, of course, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you want the cook and the people that are handling your food to have washed their hands first, right? You don't want them to come straight from the bathroom and touch your food, right? That's a good law. Hygiene, wash your hands. In Leviticus chapter 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts or animals which you shall eat among all the beasts on the earth. Whatsoever part of the hoof is cloven footed, choose to cut among the beasts, that shall you eat. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud, nor them that divide the hoof as a camel, because he chews the cud but divide not the hoof, is unclean to you. And the coney, that is a small rodent, because he chews the cud but divides not the hoof, is unclean to you. And the hare, or the rabbit, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof, is unclean to you. And the swine, the pig, do he divide a hoof, and it be cloven footed, yet he chews not the cud, he is unclean to you. And you read now about the fishes, you read about the lobsters and the crabs and everything else in here. And God is simply saying this, there are certain creatures I created to be garbage collectors. And you don't eat them because they are toxic. And the reason we like our lobsters and crabs and shrimp and the pig is because the toxins are in the meat. And that's what taste, and that's what we like it. And God said, I don't want you to eat that because it is poisonous. You get sick. And we simply says, oh, well, we are saved now, you know. Jesus paid for everything. We can live like, you know, whatever. It's all sanctified. By the way, in the book of Acts chapter 10, didn't, God have a sheet come down, you know, and told Peter it's all clean? Read the book of Acts chapter 10. It had nothing to do with the food. It has to do with that Peter would not preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And you go to Timothy, and it says, you know, they forbid to eat what God has created. And it says that what God has created to be food. God did not create tar. He did not create the rats or the, you know, stuff to be eaten. I mean, you know, there's things He created to be eaten. And God simply said, you know, that's you eat. So let me close this particular thing here by going down to chapter, the same chapter 11 now, but verse 45. For I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. What's it mean to be holy? Set apart. This is my suggestion. This is how people read it. But this is what God said. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moves in the waters and of every creature that creeps upon the earth, to make it different between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. When you talk about clean and unclean, he's talking about toxicity, not sin. So, people eat what they want to eat. That, you know, pork is the cheapest meat in the world. It is easy to grow. I mean, you can raise the pigs. You can give them slop. I mean, you can feed pigs anything. You feed them garbage, and they eat it. They get fat. You slaughter them. You get the bacon. You get all the sausage and so on. So you're eating garbage. Have you ever thought about this? If you look upon Israel, the Jewish people, those Jewish people that observe God's laws, they have a very low cancer rate. Very low. And you wonder, you know, why is that so? Oh, it just happened to be, you know, No. They're not eating swine. Pork is the biggest cancer-causing agent after smoking. So, finishing this up now. Disease is the judgment, including eating unhealthy food. So the question is this. You have a choice. And the choice is, you can either do what God tells you to do, or you can disobey Him. And then God said, I cannot bless you because you are breaking these commandments. Understand this now. You break the law of the food. That is not going to send you to hell. You're not going to lose your salvation over pork chops. But I tell you what it will do. It will send you early to heaven. It would also give you a lot of diseases. So break God's commandments. Pay the consequences. Shut up. Don't complain. You earned it. We need to understand that. There are consequences. And God simply said this. I want to bless you. I want to bless you so bad. But obey me. If not, then the curses. Let's talk about demons right now. Demons, evil spirits, and devils. The same thing. I want to talk to you about how the demonic world operates and how they function. So turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. You're getting a smorgasbord here today. Satan appealed to Eve's emotions when he approached her about eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Emotions is my weak point. Emotion is my strong point. Emotions can be manipulated. When you get emotional, there is no intelligence. Remember this. When you scream your head off or you run down emotional and you have a meltdown, there is no intelligence. That's a time you don't want to make any decisions because you will make the wrong decision. The devil was intentionally deceptive about God's prohibition, fooling Eve into thinking that God was withholding the chance to be like him. He simply came up to Eve, and the insinuation was like this. So you can't eat of this. Why not? Well, God said so. But you know, Eve, God's holding back on you. You know, there's more. He's holding back. He doesn't want you to be thinking like he is. Now, Eve should have run and simply said, Adam, come here. This dude over here is talking to me about eating the fruit that we should not eat. What do we do? She's under his covering. Mistake one, she left the husband out wherever he was. Eve said, I can handle this myself. She could not. Let's read verses 4 and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God has known that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Hey, Eve, look, this is what you're missing. Have you ever had people come up and say, you know, you tried LSD, you tried this drug, you ought to try it, man, you do that, you know, and you open up your senses, you know, you move up into the spirit world and you can experience God. Yeah, you will experience God with a small g. His name is Satan. Temptations. Satan amplified these three emotions that she had. And it overpowered her. She looked at a forbidden tree, so it looked good, delicious, was filled with desire to get more wisdom. And she simply said this, I'm going to do it. So the demons work through our emotions. She became possessed by Satan once she ate the fruit. And Satan now did not deceive Adam. He didn't have to. He had a gorgeous, naked woman, beautiful, looking like 25 or 20. And here comes Adam, no clothes on. And he says, Eve, and he's just grinning from face to face and said, hey, I ate that tree, you know. Hey, Adam, come and eat. And Adam must have been thinking about it. And he knew this. I got a choice. Emotions. I like this woman. I'd like to stay with her tonight. If I don't eat with her, she's going to go bye-bye. I'm going to go back being alone again with God. I don't want to sacrifice another rib. He took one rib over to make this. So Adam simply said, the devil's just there massaging him. You want that woman. You want that, you want your wife, don't you? And he finally said, okay, give it to my mate. And he lost it. Emotions. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took out a fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The devil is not omniscient. He can only be in one place at one time. And to overcome this, He has demons. This is my personal understanding now. I don't have a verse on it. But I do not believe that fallen angels are the same as demons. Fallen angels have a spirit body. Demons are a disemboweled spirit, Jesus said. They don't have a spirit body. They are spirits. And they want bodies. Because a spirit cannot express himself in the physical world unless he has a body. So, Satan simply is using all these demons to seduce people. Now, demons have the legal right to tempt human beings through emotions. They have a legal right to tempt. And once a person responds to temptation and sins, the demon moves into their soul and body and asserts control over their emotions. Have you noticed many killings today? Mothers killing their children. Fathers killing their wives and children. People killing in mass. Children killing their parents. People just doing mass murder. There's a lot of damage out there. And that's because we have demons possessing these people. In order to understand how demons work, you must first know how they operate. The Bible does not speak of their origin, only that they exist. They are not the same as fallen angels. Demons have been around since the creation of Adam and Eve, and that means that they have lived on earth for some 7,000 years. When you have a demon come up against you, you got to remember now, he's been around 7,000 years. They don't die. You might have 40 years, 20 years, 50 years experience. You got a guy now that's been living here for 7,000 years. He knows your emotion. Like a piano tuner knows your piano. He knows exactly how you're made up. He knows exactly how to play you. And our only weapon is the Holy Spirit. We cannot resist it in the flesh. It has been done in the Spirit. Demons do not die. They have accumulated an amazing amount of knowledge. They have also perfected their infiltration and attacks on human beings. Have you looked upon young people? You and I were young people one time. Have you noticed this? Here's the thing. You take a group of people, let's say, you take boys from the age of, let's say, 10 to 13. They all dress the same. And they have, every generation has their own words. You hear people say, you know, man, that's cool. Well, that used to mean that the temperature was chilly. So now they changed the word to cool to mean, you know, it's okay, it's nice. So every generation has their own dress code, their own hairstyle, right? Their own lingo, they all talk the same, walk the same, you know. And they think, you know, man, I'm cool, you know, I'm hip. They used to say hip in the old, another generation back. And they look upon the older people and say, hey, you know, you old foggies, you do know nothing. You know nothing. We know it all. Well, we've been saying that for 7,000 years. And, you know, looking at us a bit older right now, I would say this, I was very stupid as a child. I was more stupid as a teenager. I was a moron. I was insane. I mean, somebody should have taken me and shook me and got the marbles out of my head. But you know, I thought I knew it all. I was it. That's how the demons work. Every generation, they nail them. And they simply try to mold them. Now flip your page. Each demon was specialized in a certain emotion, which is his trade name. Just like people today, they are carpenters. You can have a plumber. You can have a doctor. You got an attorney. You got different job descriptions you have an expertise in. That's how demons do it. So you have some demons, they simply are experts in bitterness. Then you have other demons that have mastered resentment. Then you have demons of hate. You have demons of discontent. I mean, there's a list of them. And they all work there to try to destroy you and make a mess. I just got an email this morning. I was going to shut the computer down and keep it open as long as possible to get prayer requests. And I got this prayer request come in from Canada this morning. Her name is Rosetta. And she said, Pastor John, she said, I didn't take it, I just note my head now. She said, why can you explain to me, why is it I cannot really read the Bible and understand it? In other words, she reads the Bible and is scrambled. She goes back and read it again and she can't contain it. And Rosetta, if you are listening, I'm going to write to you also. I'm going to tell you this. That's because you have demons. Evil spirits will do that. It's a dead giveaway. I mean, every person coming in for deliverance, they always have certain problems of reading the Bible. It's been so bad sometimes that people cannot stay awake. And particularly in church. You go to church and, you wonder. And then, as soon as the service is over, you're wide awake. And you wonder, why is that? Well, you got little demons singing to you, oh, you're sleepy. Sleep, So, what do you do then? You can't pacify a demon. Let me illustrate this. Currently, I am at war in our house. I got mice in the house. And I learned this. One time, the first time we saw a mouse, we tried to chase the mouse down. But you can't chase it fast enough and flip furniture over. I mean, you can't chase them. So that's a lost cause. I can't take my shotgun, because that would do too much damage to the house. I will kill the mouse, but that's not the way to go. So I got to outsmart the mouse. So I got a trap. And I got one. I told my wife, I said, see? So they always come out at night. So you set the trap at night, come up in the morning, turn on the light. You trip in very careful. You don't want to step on them. And there she was, So I said, okay, I'm just going to set one more trap to make sure that there are no more. So I set another trap, another night. I came back the next morning. The trap had flipped, and she didn't die. She got away. I couldn't use that trap anymore because, I tried to use it, and mice simply said, that's not good. So I said, okay, I'm going to get different traps. So I got different traps. And these were called jaws. And you have a little container. So I dropped a little piece of cheese in there. We gave them the best. We had the cheddar cheese. Nice little cheddar cheese. And I had two traps. Get up this morning. Cheese gone. Traps didn't flap. I also got poison yesterday. I'm serious now. So I had the house put the poison in. I said, that's not going to work. I said, I'm going to put the poison out a little bit here and there. And the lady said, use peanut butter in those traps to get them. So I'm going to get some peanut butter today. Now, I'm serious. I don't want to live with these mice. I open cupboards. You see those little black droppings, I don't want to live with them. There's only one thing to do, exterminate them. You got to kill them. You can't open a door and say, hey, somebody, go out the door. Here's the door. Go out. They will not do that. You got to kill them. The same thing with demons. You got to exterminate them. They got to be cast out and sent to prison. Otherwise, you will have your problem. The first demon to usually approach a human being is a spirit of fear. I will give a report next week how we did in the killing spree. The first demon to approach a human being is a spirit of fear. They attack babies in the womb, and in this way they are able to enter and bring them with other demons like an arrested development spirit and a spirit guide and so on. Now, most people living today born after 1960 have an arrested development spirit. It's at different stages, but it's not an arrested development spirit. It's a demon that comes in when you were a child, when you had fear. It could be a car accident. It could be your parents divorced. It could be somebody died. It could be you're sitting in front of a television and you see all the murders and stuff, traumatized. It could be a dog that bit you. It could be bullies in a school. A number of different things. But when a child is traumatized with fear, that opens up the door for the arrested development spirit. And that spirit comes in, clamps down your emotions. And your body grows up, your intelligence grows up, but your emotions are those of a child. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It simply means that you are a child. I'm sure you've met a number of people. The reason we got so many divorces today is that you got a man that has an arrested development spirit. He marries a woman that got the arrested development spirit. The two of them have children. They are children themselves, and our children are going to try to raise children. And there's problems. When you have financial strain, you got different things like this, how to get along. A child does not know how to do that. And that's why we got the fights and the breakups and the marriages. We don't have adults. We have children. And this is why you see people still reading the cartoons. They might be, 40 years old. You get the paper, the first thing you do, you open up to read the cartoons. And the reason, why? Because your emotions are like a child. In deliverance, we have deliverance charts. We just finished a guy this week from, he was here last week in the chapel. He's back home in Anaheim now, and very successful. Now, in deliverance, we have identified 135 different demon groups. 135 demon groups. We've also identified 54 different demon categories, which specialize in occultism. There are 56 demon categories in the field of false religions. We have identified 18 demon categories of idolatry, 23 categories of sexual perversion, and hundreds of categories of alcohol and other drug demons. When it comes to pornography, it is very addictive. It is very destructive. And these are powerful spirits that will simply overtake your emotions and keep you in bondage. When we cast out a demon of fear, it does not mean that the person only has one demon of fear. There's a multitude. Most people are possessed by thousands of demons. And they are just like bacteria. I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 5 right now. And they came over onto the other side of the sea to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling place, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters. These are heavy chains and smaller chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Now, we've done a lot of deliverances. We've been at this since 1969. And I've seen skinny women so strong that they can knock out an elephant. When that demon power takes over, it's beyond what you can understand. And over night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not." Now, the demons here recognize there is Jesus. He's the Creator. We're in trouble. And they suddenly came up. They worshipped him. And then they adjured him. In other words, in the name of God, don't torment us, the time is not yet. Satan was not yet. He was not yet dethroned. He was still the king of the earth. And so what did Jesus say? He said this: "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A legion was 7,000 men. This man had 7,000 demons. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. The demon said, "You know, don't send us away." Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. By the way, Jews should not have swine. And all the devils besought them, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." Well, Jesus wanted to kill two birds with one stone. He got rid of the swine. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out, entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 pigs, and were choked in the sea. And then the fed swine fled and told the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had a legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. So why did the demons go into the swine? Simple. They simply had the swine commit suicide. They got a hold of their brains, had them all commit suicide en masse. And once the pigs died, the demons flew right out looking for other people. And this is what happened. So, after the cross, we cannot bind the demons. We can cast them to prison. And I have seen what happened when you cast out demons and they're not bound. A lot of people get sick and they get afflicted. Let me try to wrap this up, what I want you to take home. First of all, we spoke about disease as a judgment. So I want you to examine yourself. If you're sick, are you sick because you're afflicted by the devil because you're doing good? Or are you sick and afflicted because you have broken God's commandments? Only you can determine that. If you have broken some commandments, you're not walking the way you should, then there's a simple solution. You simply go to God the Father, repent, ask Him to forgive you, get washed in the blood, and give it up, and God can heal you. Simple. But you got to give up your sins. When it comes to demons, some of you, this is old hat. Some of you listening today, this is new. And this is just a introduction. He's not deep in depth. But it's enough for you to think, do I have demons? Have they been cast out? Am I cursed? Are there generational curses in my life? Are there things that is holding me back? Well, it's a good thing to examine. Only you can do that. So you go to God in prayer and simply say, Lord, where do I stand on these two issues? So that you can simply be healed in your body, stay on earth and have a ministry, and not have an early exit. Let me say this one thing before I close. There's a spirit of suicide. And the spirit of suicide, it's a group of them. And they're very powerful. And what they do is, they would take it to a place of absolute despair. Where they would simply say, there's no way out of this. You cannot go this way, this way, this way. You cannot go anywhere. They put you in despair, depression. Second step, isolate you. You don't want to talk to other people. You don't want to discuss anything with them. You want to shut yourself in. You want to be all by yourself. And that's how the demon will take you on the side. Just like wolves. Wolves, when they hunt, they come in the pack. They don't attack 10 sheep. They select one. They scare that sheep out of the herd. They get it isolated. They all jump on a sheep and they kill it and eat it. That's a demon's work. Once they got you isolated, depressed, and you don't talk to anyone, then the words come in. Kill yourself. Kill yourself. All the pain will be gone. All the pain. If you kill yourself, you will not have this pain anymore. It will be great time again. Peace. And that's why people commit suicide. Who in the world would stand on a chair, tie a rope around the neck, knowing, you know, it's going to be painful, and then jump down from the chair and hang there about 5 minutes before you die? Who would do that in the right mind? No one. But you take a person or a demon that could send it to, and they will do it. If you ever thought about suicide, if there ever has been fleeting thoughts coming to mind, know this, you have demons, just like we got mice in the house. You can see the droppings. And what you want to do is you want to stop and say, I need to exterminate this. This has to die. If you're not late, and you might say this, how do I get into this program to be saved, be a Christian? All you have to do now, if you're convicted of your sins, is to say, God, forgive my sins. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. You died for me on the cross. I want to be saved. Forgive me, God. Jesus, come on in and save me. And he will. When we finish here, you will have Charles Durrell come. He'll be talking to you, but not see his face. And he will take you step by step and then pray with you so you will know that you can be saved. God bless you. If you're a Christian, I would simply say this to you. Examine yourself. Don't blow it off. Check yourself out. And then if you have a need, take care of it. Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for many blessings, Father God. We thank you for the Word of God. It is our guidebook on this earth, Lord. We thank you for the lesson today, which it's all there, black and white, for us to understand and apply. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for each person that tuned in today, took the time to do the right thing, Lord, to study the Word, to go to church. We know that this is your plan for your people. And we ask your blessing upon each and every person. And we lift up Satiris Christo to you, Lord. We thank you for blessing him and for the finances to come in that he needs, that he will be on top of his game again very soon, Lord, and producing. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we want to always remember those that are in bonds, that have been put in prison illegally in this country and around the world. And we lift them up to you. There are many, many, and too many to name. And we thank you for being with each prisoner, knowing that there are people advocating for them on a daily basis. And we thank you for your peace to fall upon them, Lord. And we come against the corruption and the corrupt system that has been established. And judgment is falling in the streets, like the Word has said. And we thank you, Father, for judgment to fall on the illegal and the rotten system. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God.
The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, You're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the seventh part in the series, No Body, No Ministry, and was entitled Sickness as a Judgment. God warned the Israelites that they could be blessed or cursed, and He never wanted them second-guessing what He was going to do. Miriam quickly learned this truth when she verbally attacked Moses and was punished with leprosy. King David learned about consequences when God killed his son stemming from the adulterous affair with Bathsheba. Gehazi let greed get the best of him, and it not only cost him his health, but his bloodline was forever cursed as well. Food is an important part of health, but what happens when you eat harmful things? According to God, eating banned foods will bring sickness, and that is certainly part of the reason why so many people are sick today. Satan was able to appeal to Eve's emotions in the Garden of Eden, and she was possessed by the devil once she ate the forbidden fruit and seduced Adam to sin as well. Emotions are the gateway used by the kingdom of Satan to seduce and afflict human beings, and evil spirits have become masters at using our emotions to manipulate us into making poor decisions. Since they never die, evil spirits have accumulated an amazing amount of knowledge which is used to profile their targets, allowing them to perfect their infiltration and attacks on mankind. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1629. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.